Do any of you like to doodle? When I was younger, I was a doodler. I would always like to draw little pictures around whatever was going on, a little way to distract myself. And actually, growing up, this right now was prime doodling time. During the sermon, what better to do than to get out a pen, pull out your handy bulletin, and draw something? As I say that, how many of you kids right now are actually doodling right now in your bulletin? Yeah? Yeah, I see a couple. Yeah? A couple. What? You're old. Yeah? Okay, good. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, a few of you. You know, when I was growing up, when I was doodling, I would always draw stick man battles. Little guys fighting each other with swords and guns and stick figure airplanes. And, the bulletin, you have to really cram things in there. So, when the nation of volunteer schedule was going up against the people of the prayer area, you really had to kind of cram in between those little lines of text there, see if you can get them to fit and get their swords to be clear and their, to aim your gun between the, you had to be a little bit higher so you don't hit the capital letters, but then you want it to kind of arc back down so you can hit the guys on the other side in the Battle of the Bulletin. And of course, no gun ever fires just one bullet. You have to have a whole line showing exactly where they're going to go. Maybe your airplanes can drop bombs. But realistically, the bulletin is not a great place to doodle. I mean, have you seen the bulletin? There is not a lot of blank space in there. You really have to cram things in. In fact, now on staff, I know that we've really shrunk the margins on the bulletin quite a lot. I mean, we're going pretty close to the edge on those things. There's not a lot of space left around the text in the bulletin. In school, at least, usually they give you papers with like a 1-inch margin. Man, that's a lot of space to fill up. The bulletin, you might want to get a kid's bulletin. They have a lot more empty space. Or I guess if you don't take notes during the sermon, you can use the whole back page and just cram that full of battles, or I guess whatever you guys draw. Maybe I'm the only one who draws battles. Just like you need good margins, though, if you want to doodle, we need margin in our life if we want to be effective. We need margin in our own life so that we have the room, the space to act. We're going to be talking from Acts today about margin, but I'm going to start with a little video about margin. No margin, Ned. Come destroy your life with me. Really, having margin in your life allows us to do what God tells us to do. Henry Kissinger once said, "There can't be a crisis next week. My schedule is already full." As Christians, we often say something similar. We say, "God can't ask me to do anything next week because my schedule is already full." We need margin in our life if we're going to do what God tells us to do. We're looking at Acts chapter 8. We're going to start in verses 26 through 40 here. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of God. Here we see the story of Philip asked by God to go down a certain road. And because he had margin in his life, he was able to get up and go. He didn't have to make an appointment. He didn't have to stop and take care of affairs first. He was able to do what God asked him to do. We have another little video. Is to have no margin. If you want your time to be a disaster, just eliminate all margin. Say yes to everything. And then when God calls, you won't be able to say yes to him. Philip here was ready to go when God called him. Even though it was a trip that he did not know when it was going to end, he did not know how long it was going to take, he was willing to get up and go. Going off on a road in those days, of course, wasn't like God telling you on your way home to take 29 Road instead of 5th Street. It would have been an undertaking. It would have been a trip that, well, you'd probably want to prepare for, get ready for, but Philip was ready to go when God called him. If you contrast this with pictures we see in the New Testament, in Matthew 8, we see the teacher of the law who was called by Christ to follow him, but he wanted to go and take care of his family affairs. He was going to go bury his father first. And burying your father, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you have to choose between burying the dead here or following Jesus, you should be willing to follow Jesus. The disciple Matthew, when he was called to come and follow, he got up and he followed. And that's what Philip did here, that he got up and he went when he was called to go. Margin allows us to do what God tells us to do. He had the space in his life to do it. But then margin also allows us to do what God tells us to do and to do it eagerly. When Philip went out here, he had some prompting, but it all comes at the beginning of the story. Go on a certain road, go by the chariot, and then he eagerly served God when he was given that opportunity. Finding himself next to this eunuch, he was willing and eager to go and do what he was able to tell this person about the scripture that he was reading, to even explain Jesus and what Jesus has done in his life, the good news. God's prompting ends in this passage once he's by the chariot, and yet Philip is eager to continue on. He didn't go next to the chariot and say, okay, well, I guess I can walk by this guy for like maybe 2 more minutes and then I'm heading back because I have things to do back in Jerusalem. He eagerly served God because he had the margin to do that. If you want to have margin in your life, of course, you need to set some boundaries. You need to carve out time. You know, not only do you need margin, but you need to have margin that you're willing to use for God. Jonah had margin, and he had boundaries. When God called him to go, he got up and went, but he went the wrong way, that he turned away from the plan God had. And his boundaries, I'm not going to serve those people, I'm not going to go to that city, kept him from serving God. You must set up boundaries in your life, say no to things, manage your time to allow you to have margin to serve God. And then when you have the chance to serve God, you can serve him eagerly. This eunuch was traveling down this road not knowing that God had a greater plan in mind for him. Are there any eunuchs here today? Oh, cool, so I can make fun of them. So two eunuchs walk into a bar. No. How many eunuchs does it take to change a light bulb? No. Have you heard what a eunuch said to... You know, I just realized I don't have any eunuch jokes. And this is Pastor Steve's sermon, and he didn't have a single eunuch joke in this. I could have counted on that, I thought. But margin allows us to do what God calls us to do, and to do it eagerly. Some of you may know that yesterday, Pastor Steve asked me, since he was feeling unwell, and said, hey, How about you preach the sermon tomorrow? And I had enough time, not having anything else scheduled between 9:30 and 10 or 11:30 and noon. I said, I guess, sure, I can preach that sermon. I was going to be at church anyways. And he was nice enough to hand me his notes. And during the first service, while I was preaching, I saw what was on the slides. So that helps for this service. But having the space to come and serve God, but then to do it eagerly. And I'm eager to be here speaking to you because I love sharing the gospel message and God's love with you. But you have to have space to do that. You have to have space and margin in your life if you want to serve God and to have the eagerness to do it. So margin allows us to do what God tells us to do it eagerly, and also to do it well. Philip was called to go stand next to a man. And he eagerly interacted with him, but he had also been prepared. He knew the stories of the Old Testament, he knew the work of Isaiah the prophet, and he knew the good news about Jesus, and he was ready to share. This eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, and it says that Philip began with that very passage and told him the good news about Jesus, and the eunuch was converted. Because Philip had margin in his life, he was able to take this call to continue on, go where God had called him to do, talk to who God had set him up to talk to. And because he was prepared, because he had used the time in his life wisely to know the stories of the Bible, to know his own faith, to know the good news of Jesus, he was able to do this work well. I'm going to share with you some from Isaiah to show you how you can share the gospel, starting with a passage like this. Now, this passage, Isaiah 53, that's the same chapter that the eunuch was reading from. On one hand, it's a really good passage to start from. I mean, if you see what he said, like a sheep led to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And then he even asked the question, who's he talking about? That's a really good start. Let me tell you right now that if you come up to someone who's reading the Bible and you ask if they understand it, and they say no, and they want you to start with that very verse, there are a lot of harder verses to start from that you may need to take a little bit more time to get there. But starting with a verse like this from the Old Testament, which, you know, usually we share the gospel from the New Testament, and that appeals to a lot of people, but the Old Testament appeals to a lot of people too. And there are some who I think will be more swayed by seeing the gospel presented from the Old Testament than just what was written in the New Testament. And so here's some verses from Isaiah 53 and following that we can do. Isaiah 53:6 says, A, first half of the verse only. So you turn to Isaiah 53:6, read the first half and stop. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Right there, that presents the problem of sin. That is something I think and presented in a way that I think people can relate to. Saying, you know, the Word of God says everyone will turn to their own way. And just as people going through your life, I'm sure that you have seen people turn to their own way. That left on their own, if you don't have too many rules for someone to follow, if you don't have too many restrictions on them, people turn to their own way and they go astray. And that's the problem that humanity faces. Sin in this world is a result of who we are as people. And because of the fall, we all turn to sin naturally, and that's a problem that we can't overcome on our own, as Isaiah 57 says. Isaiah 57:12 now. This says, I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. So you, in the previous verse, you've introduced the problem of sin, and now in this verse, you show that we can't be good enough to overcome our sin. That our own righteousness and our own works are not enough to save us. In fact, they will not benefit us at all, it says. That as people, even though there are many who would consider themselves good, who try to be a good people, and that the world would look at it and say, oh, that is a good man, or even a righteous man, that in itself is not enough to save. After Isaiah 57:12, we go back to Isaiah 53:6, but now part B. So the second time you go there, skip the first half. Half a verse, go somewhere else, come back and read the other half. Because it's always good to read the Bible in context. So the second half of the verse says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've had this problem of sin, the problem of our own righteousness not being able to save us, and now, back in Isaiah 53, the solution that God provides. Because here, the Him that is talked about, we know now, is Jesus. On this side of the cross, we understand that Jesus took our sins on Himself, that He lived a perfect life, and that He died for our sake. God has provided someone to pay for our sins. So we have the problem of sin, and our good works aren't enough, but God has provided a Savior. And finally, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will freely pardon." The final step is a call for a response. That as people hearing this message, we then must seek the Lord, turn to Him, and God will give us mercy. And these steps, maybe you would call this the Isaiah road instead of the Romans road, the steps give us a way that you can share the gospel from these passages in Isaiah. If you didn't catch those verses, it was Isaiah 53:6, then 57:12, 53:6 again, and now this verse, 55:6-7. A way you can share the gospel starting here, showing from the prophet Isaiah how he spoke of Jesus. Knowing a method like this, the Romans road, you could have pamphlets that you're familiar with, four spiritual laws. Any of these tasks allow us to be prepared to share the message of the gospel. You won't share Christ well if you are unprepared. Yes, God in His Spirit can work through us even when we don't know what we're saying. And yet at the same time, Scripture calls us to be prepared, to be able to answer, give a reason for the hope that is in us, to be prepared to share. When we have margin, we can do what God tells us to do, and we can do it eagerly and well. We can use the time in our life to prepare to share this message. If you're here today and you have not heard a gospel presentation like this, these are the basics. Knowing that as people we have sinned, we fall short of God's plan for us, and our good works cannot save us, and yet there was one provided by God, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and died to pay the penalty for our sins. And that our step now is to respond to Him. If you have never prayed a prayer like that or made that response in faith, I encourage you, talk to me, talk to Bernie in the back there is one of our elders. You talk to him, talk to someone who's here and share with them where you are in your life. And if you want to pray that prayer, we'd be glad to do it. Or you can do it yourself as well. When we prepare, we can share the gospel well. When we have margin in our life, we are able to do what God tells us to do it eagerly and well. You know, in these past weeks, I think since maybe the beginning of January approximately, we've been talking about this Living Hope 101. We have a series of things that we're kind of challenging you to do that to help serve God and to get more involved in the ministry of the gospel. And they all require margin. They require margin in your life to do any of them. For instance, the first one is give $100. The challenge was to give $100 between January and Easter. And to do that, you need to have financial margin. And there's a lot of reasons why you may not have a lot of margin in your finances. Perhaps you just have made bad decisions about your finances, and you've spent all your money on things that didn't really matter, and so now you have nothing left. But for many of you, that's not the case. You may not have a lot of margin because you're not fully in control of your own income. That maybe you had a job, but you lost it. Maybe you just are living on a fixed income, and it seems like prices are going up faster than retirement benefits or anything else are. And so you're slowly squeezing that margin out of your finances. But for others of you, you probably have a good deal of financial margin. I'm sure there were some who, when we said, challenges to give $100, just that day you said, sure, $100, I'll do $100, put it in the offering, done. That no longer applies to me until Easter. For some of you, it could be an easy thing because you had that level of margin. For some, it would be a struggle. And of course, the intention is not that everyone has to give $100 or we kick you out of the church, but the challenge is to buy into this ministry of the gospel, that by giving a little bit more, if you're already a regular giver, we thank you for that, of course, but by giving just a little bit more, and helping this church stay on budget, we're able to be more effective in our ministry, that more people come to Christ. And over the past few weeks, we've said, shown that we've stayed on budget. Our giving has been above what is needed each week. And at the same time, we've seen people coming to Christ. Which brings us to the second part, which is to pray for 100 names. And praying for 100 names requires some margin in your time. That if your schedule is so packed that you don't have time to pray, it's going to be difficult to look at that list and start in praying for these people. But if you have time in your life, and really, 100 names does not take that long to pray for. If you haven't picked up a list of names, they're in the back on the table over there. And you can pick those up and pray for them probably in 5 minutes or less if you just want to read off the names and lift these people up. These are people who, people in this congregation have identified as needing the love of God, needing to hear the gospel message. And they're asking you, and we as leadership are asking you, to take the time to pray for those in need. And it's been effective because we've seen people from this list come to know God. I did not print up a new list with extra names added. So there are a few people on there who, when you pray for them, have actually come and responded to the gospel. They are new Christians, so you can pray that will grow in faith, except that actually I don't think I know which people it is. So talk to Pastor Steve because he's the one who actually knows which people on the list it was, I guess. But know that as you pray for those, people are being changed. Lives are being changed for these prayers, but it takes some margin in your time and a willingness to set boundaries on other things to, realistically, you could still be watching TV and then just mute during the commercials and pray for one column at a time. And by the end of the show, you would have prayed for the whole list of people. You could do your prayers that way. Maybe you could even take a couple minutes to actually focus on God and not watch, Swiffer commercials in the background and pray for these names and lift them up so they would come to know God. But if that's a challenge for you, just during the commercials, mute 5 or 6 names. You can do that. And then finally, the last item that we challenge you to do was to invite somebody, find someone that you can come to church with. We're coming up to Easter, and that is a great time to do that, but again, it requires margin. This requires a little bit different type of margin. It requires being willing to open yourself up to the people in your life, to risk a little bit, to speak with them, to be real with them and say, I need you to come to church with me. I want you to see what I get out of church. I want you to be transformed by the same God who has transformed me. That you would invite those people, that you would come here. And if you bring them no other time, bring them on Easter. They'll hear the gospel message. They'll hear the good news of Christ died and resurrected. Bring them here to hear that message, that they can be transformed. And if you know someone is going to be coming with you, then take the time to pray for them. You maybe don't have to pray with them, but pray for them that they would be touched by the service and prepare as well, that you would know that when they come, if they're listening and paying attention, they may have some questions. Be ready with at least some information that you can give them. So you can tell them a little bit about how God's love has affected you. You can share with them from the scripture that you'd be ready to share. All of this requires margin in our life. Setting aside some extra time. Making room to do what God tells us to do. That when those opportunities come up, we also are willing and eager to serve our Lord and Master. And that we have prepared and are able to do the job well. Philip was willing to take the time, setting off on a trip with no end in sight. He was eager to talk to this man and share with him the good news that he knew for himself, and he was prepared to share the gospel, starting from Isaiah. I hope that in the coming weeks, you as well will make room in your life, that you would take the time to love and to follow God and open yourself up to serving Him. As we close, I remind you to prepare yourself to share the love and the mercy that God has shown you with those around you. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the care that you give us. We ask that you would slow our busy schedules. That you would help us to say no when we need to say no. But more importantly, that you would help us to say yes when you need us to say yes. That you would touch our hearts, that your Spirit would come upon us mightily, empower us to change this world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, may God go with you this week. May His love fill your life. And may He prepare you through His Spirit to share the gospel, to spread the good news. You are dismissed.